afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today's Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Well, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us this afternoon, but first, let's go ahead and get to the market report today. Gold was higher early morning trade, and they whacked it down, but we're still looking at 1280. 1280 for gold today, barely. Actually, the high today was 1290, so it had a strong open, and later in the day, it just reversed itself. Silver, same thing, 1729 for the high. We're looking at 1710. Platinum was up $8 today at 937. Palladium was down 6, 985. The USDX today was down 0.02 at 93.78. Crude oil was down 60 cents at 55.10. In the paper markets today, you have the Dow down 136 points at 23,272. The NASDAQ was down 31 at 6,706. The S&P was down 14, 2,564. And we have the 10-year yield was also down 0.05, 2.34%. And the euro is still holding 118. And after a little change in the overseas markets, Japan was down a little over 1.5%, and Hong Kong a little bit over 1. So 1-800-375-4188. We still have some of those packages left over. $495, where you get 90% silver, $25 face value, and a 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle, all for $495. We'll talk a little bit more about that special. And we have a little later on in the program, and we have Wendy Wilson joining us today from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
I thought we'd talk about what's going on with the socialized health care in some of the models that the United States is, you know, shooting for. That would be what's in the UK and Canada. Right now, the UK version of socialized care is going through a deprioritized phase where they're rationing care. So over there, ration care has arrived. And so thought we'd talk a little bit about that, because that could be, you know, what's on the horizon for the United States if we don't get, you know, to doing something different. So the National Health Services, that's what's over in the UK, is their national care. And the United Kingdom decided in 1948 to enact the National Health Service Act. And that's the primary care for permanent residents of the UK through their taxation program. And there's certain variances in provision in the health care through this UK administration. And, you know, people over there can opt to have private insurance where you can't in Canada. It's illegal. And about 8% of the British will opt to pay for private insurance, but they still get taxed for the free health care through their United Kingdom National Health Service Act. So anybody want to take a guess how much they take out of their wages for the socialized health care there?
120%.
Yeah, pretty much.
They take 20% of their wages. They garnish that for their health care over there in England. So in England, you know, it's been hailed the best healthcare, though, system in the socialized arena. This was based on an international panel of experts that published their findings in the Commonwealth Fund report. They said it's superior to other countries. You're going to get a kick out of this, though, Al, Melanie, because they spend less on their patient care than any other program throughout the world. So the UK spends nearly the lowest amount of money per patient in their system, less than half of what New Zealand spends and what we spend here. So, but the same panel of experts that hailed them as the best model because they spend less also had one little black mark. They said that they were the worst for keeping patients alive.
It's a detail. It's like who was the mayor of Washington D.C. back 15 years ago? He said 20 years ago. He says it's actually a very safe city if you don't count the murders.
There you go. Well, that is an important detail. It gives them a low score because in their category, it means they had higher infant mortality, and also they had a lack of timely care that decreased survival rates. Okay. So now the report did stress that with regard to the UK's socialized health care, there's trade-offs and they're inevitable, they said. They gave an example of timely access. You know, if you had to go to, let's say, to a general practitioner, there are no magazines in the waiting room because there's no long waits if you got to go to, you know, a general. But when it comes to the specialists, you know, let's say you got to go to a neurologist or a bone guy, then your wait is 6 months to get.
And you don't need a magazine; you get an encyclopedia. Is that what they give you?
Well, no. I mean, it's a very strict system, and so like you call and you get an appointment. You walk in, you get seen. There's no waits, but with the specialized care, which would lead you to surgery and other more expensive treatments, then they call you and tell you when your appointment is 6 months down the road, and you don't get to tell them what day, what time of day you get to go. They tell you when to show up.
So they're giving you a 6 month window of opportunity to die before you even get to the special care. Is that true?
It's a possibility. Dr. Mark Porter, he's for Doctors Union, a British Medical Association over there. He says services are now at risk as we are facing pressures threatening high-quality care. A combination of rising patient demands, staff shortages, constant interference from politicians, and the lack of funding is undermining the foundations of the National Health Service healthcare. Now, you know, if you'll recall, British Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt, he wanted to slash doctor pay for the new physicians from $100,000 to $40,000, and then they couldn't even pay for their school bills, you know? So this is where, when you've got, you know, I guess, you know, bureaucracy running the show, this is what you're going to get.
I'll tell you another point. You mentioned there are rising healthcare claims. That wasn't quite the language you had, but they have more people that are going to see the doctor. And that's bound to happen if the healthcare is perceived to be free. How many of these people would go to see the doctor if they actually had to pay for it themselves? I mean, if I have a little problem, I guess I could go see the doctor, or I could just solve it myself or weather it myself. Do you think that's a significant part of the problem?
Well,
free healthcare attracts more customers?
Well, what has undermined them financially is the way they wrote the law for the healthcare over there and their provision statements. I mean, you know, I'm going to just say, excuse my French, but dumbasses wrote the thing, okay? Mm-hmm. And what they did is, you know, they kind of had generalizations. So, in other words, over there, healthcare is free, and anything that you needed to sustain health would be provided for you. The doctor could write a prescription, and you could just go get it at the pharmacy, and it's provided for you. So they got their doctors to write them prescriptions for toothbrushes and toothpaste and toilet paper.
That's what I'm talking about.
Tissue. So they is, I mean, people were exploiting it. Yeah. And now we're at the point.
Oh, I get what you're saying. They're not just telling you this is what kind of toothbrush you should get. This means the government is paying for the toothbrush, the toothpaste, and the toilet paper.
Oh, yeah. 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 So, you know, and we're going to get to that in just a second about what they're cutting in order to save themselves. And I'm talking some serious treatments they're going to be cutting. But I wanted to show you a parallel of this guy, Jim Edwards. He's lived both in the UK and the United States. So he's used both systems because he's a citizen. He's in both countries. He says the National Health Service over in UK, he says it's not the Rolls Royce of healthcare. And it's very understandable why Americans fear a socialized system. It's very different, dramatically different from America, he says. For instance, Americans expect trauma care to be fairly quick and efficient, but in the UK, reports are if you have an accident or emergency, your wait time is 4 hours. Okay, now according to the National Health Services, they said 84% of trauma care patients wait 4 hours to be seen. But get this, they said it should be 95%. So in other words, they don't have a problem.
They're moving too fast. They're moving too fast.
They don't have a problem with the 4-hour wait. They think 4 hours is acceptable. So if you've been in a hospital in the United States, and if there's not a local disaster gumming up your hospital, you're going to see somebody within an hour, you know? And so patients are used to that here in the United States, so that's kind of different. He did say that the benefits to the socialized care in England is there's no paperwork, okay? So, and there's no wait times. But he says, now, if you got to go see a specialist and your appointment's 6 months out, this happened to him, he says, and then his boss told him, you have to go overseas to do this job for him. And he missed his appointment. And, of course, their system is, oh, well, you know, you got to start over. He has to wait another 6 months.
Pretty amazing. Pretty astonishing. And, again, you can't look at it. Are people that dumb, or do they really want you to die?
Well, here's some feedback from doctors who've worked in both countries. This is Dr. Martin Kalmiski. He says, as an infectious medicine physician that's worked both in the UK and America, I can say I deeply admire the American system. It is quick, knowledgeable, cutting edge. When patients need studies like an MRI, they can get it overnight, whereas in the UK, studies are done during business hours only, and there is a backlog. And here's another doctor, Dr. Robert Wetchner, MD. He says, I think of the British National Health Service, I compare it to the public school system versus a private school, which would represent the healthcare in America. So people in the UK who opted for the private healthcare, you know, remember I said 8% go ahead and get private health insurance?
Yep.
Dr. Wetchner says if the 8% that opted for the private healthcare decided tomorrow that they want the free healthcare instead, it would collapse the system trying to manage those extra people that have already paid for their taxes.
Pretty amazing. And what's really amazing to me is comparatively, the United States system is better.
Yeah.
It's considerably better. Well, I mean, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, oh my gosh.
Well, let's real quick, it's going to run out of time. I wanted to go over the things they're rationing over there. So the healthcare system has some major issues, some serious conditions that can become life-threatening problems. So now in 2017, the British Medical Journal said that the healthcare system was cutting back on treatments due to lack of funds, adequate staffing. So you cannot get knee and hip replacements now. You cannot get cataract surgery, or you can't get drugs for arthritis. So the British doctors, if they want to seek treatment for their patients, they have to go through what is called an exceptional case system. It's in a special appeal in hope that they could get, you know, their patients some relief. So they have a delay. And of course, there was 899 appeals for knee and hip surgeries last year, 1,000 cataract surgery appeals, and over 73,900 appeals, only 51% were granted. Okay. What was really shocking is one doctor said patients here sometimes have to wait 10 weeks to get their medication. And he says, we're frustrated with these gaps and treatments and delays create difficulties in controlling symptoms. So they can't even get, you know, drugs for arthritis and pain and stuff like that.
Pretty amazing. Does this healthcare system include coffins? You get a free coffin if you sign up for British healthcare?
Well, they got worse because the British Medical Journal sent out another bulletin saying another list of cuts were coming. This was going to be effective within the next month or so. Absolutely no cosmetic or plastic surgery whatsoever. Varicose vein treatments are gone. Fertility treatments gone. Mental health care no longer available.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Of course, we talked about cataract removal. That's no longer available. Carpal tunnel syndrome care. Hip and knee surgery, we mentioned. Breast surgery. So if you had to have a mastectomy, there's no breast reconstruction available. And no skin tag removal, apparently. So, you know, hospitals, you know, are being warned, according to the Vail Your Clinical Commission Group, hospitals there are being warned they're not going to be paid if they perform surgery on people who smoke and who are overweight.
I understand. In other words, if they've contributed or it can be seen that they contributed to their own afflictions, government's not going to pay for it.
Well, here's what this is from the horse's mouth. This is a chief executive officer for the National Health Service there, Julia Wood. She says, unfortunately, the National Health Service does not have unlimited resources, and ensuring patients they will get high-quality care against spiraling demands and increased costs. And as a result, there are some tough choices that have to be made, which can be difficult for some patients, end of quote. So they got a couple of choices, throw out another, law out there to tax them some more,
The whole thing is madness.
Well, let's just real quick, because I know we're running out of time. Over in the UK, the average person earns about $35,700 a year. So they get taxed 20% of their pay, so about $7,000 is going to their socialized health care. So that means, on average, that system's getting $71.5 billion in garnishment from the British workers every year, and they can't provide service.
Just astonishing.
I'm telling you.
I mean, people ought to be, rioting or something. I mean, but people in Parliament or whatever, they need to be replaced. I'm not sure what they have to do here, but untenable.
It's crazy.
But it's partly the fault of the people, too. They need to go down, look, I have a hangnail. Take care of it for me.
Over there, the dental area is even worse. There's death by toothache over there. But, God's got herbal medicine, so, cleanse the toxins, power up the immune system, try to stay out of the doctor's office and stop waiting for that treatment you're probably never going to get. Now, the British people, they don't have a lot of herbs that they lost them all when they became part of the EU, so hopefully they'll get some of them back. I hear from them all the time. They can import a few small amounts from me, but they got a lot of restrictions over there.
Pretty amazing, pretty astonishing. And the problem, we can look at it and point a finger at Britain and laugh at them or wince or whatever, but what are the probabilities we're going to see something similar in this country, and therefore we have to protect ourselves?
Absolutely, that's what I thought. Yep. Absolutely. Well, if anybody's interested, they can get a free product catalog from Apothecary Herbs. We can send that out free of charge. They just need to call 866-229-3663, and they can empower themselves. 866-229-3663, or visit us online at thepowerherbs.com.
All right, Wendy, thanks very much. Another interesting and informative report. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. We've got, that was Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. We're going to take a break for a couple of commercials, and we will be back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Addisk, and I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
We're running a special today, as I mentioned on the beginning of the broadcast, $495 for 90% silver Washington quarters. Those are brilliant uncirculated. And again, normally when we sell the 90% silver, we just sell, you know, the circulated items, you know, because you get the best buy for your dollars. You get more silver for your dollars. But these brilliant uncirculated, the premiums, I haven't seen this low in a very long time. You can buy 90% BU silver quarters for what you were paying for circulated items just a couple of months ago. So it's a very, very good buy. $495, and we're also going to include that 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagle. This includes your shipping costs for $495. And last night I was on Pastor Butch Show's program, and I offered the same special, but for $10 more, you can also pick up his book that he wrote. And I do have it here. So if you'd like to spend an extra $10, the donation would go to Pastor Butch, Articles of Wisdom and Instruction from God's Word. So, but $495 is without the book. And with the book, it's $505, and it's still the savings off the regular price of the book. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, American Survival. So I wanted to talk about, there was a report floating around. We talked about it last night, this morning, and I wanted to, well, Al, maybe if you keep talking.
I have to talk now?
You have to talk now. I'll try to see if I can't find the report. It's been I'm sure everyone's probably heard it already, but it's just a frustrating one. $15 million isn't a whole lot of money in today's world, but it's what it's been spent on and paid for by taxpayers' money. So,
all right, we'll get to the $15 million. In the meantime, we'll talk about, here's an article from LouRockwell.com. Slush fund, pay-to-play Clinton Foundation facing financial meltdown. This is not exactly news, but there's a few interesting sides on that. I mean, we've heard that Clinton's foundation, their alleged trust, this thing has been in trouble since Hillary lost the presidential election because she's no longer able to deliver special services to people that put money into their trust. And they've had millions and millions of dollars go into their trust while she was Secretary of State. And the deal was, apparently, the way it apparently worked, at least in some instances, is she would do a favor for some corporate or foreign government. She would do a favor for them, provided that someone brought Bill Clinton in to deliver a speech. And they had one where I believe they paid one of the outfits, might have been Russia, I don't recall clearly. And so far as I remember, they paid him $500,000 to deliver a speech. All right, we'll fly you in, we're going to give you $500,000 to talk to us for 45 minutes. Now, that's pretty good pay for chatter. And you would suppose, you know, under normal circumstances, you say, boy, that guy's got to really have something extraordinary to say. I mean, he's got the secret of how to win every time on the stock market or in the bond market or wherever. For $500,000, that's a heck of a speech. But apparently it wasn't all that big on content. The real content was Hillary providing a service as Secretary of State and her husband Bill collecting the payment for that service. The whole thing is evidence of corruption, just a betrayal of American interests. And here again, here's the slush fund pay-to-play Clinton Foundation facing financial meltdown. Now that presidential loser Hillary Clinton is not sitting in the White House, the Clinton Foundation has no service to offer its contributors. A new report by the International Business Times suggests the Clinton Foundation is facing a severe financial downturn after the world's largest corporations ended all contributions to the slush fund charity. This was allegedly a charity, but apparently the primary recipients of this charity were the Clintons themselves. The International Business Times reports most of the companies that have previously donated to the Clinton Foundation didn't contribute in the second quarter of 2017. That includes Axiom Corporation, BTIG, Limited Liability Corporation, Google, and Starkey Hearing Technologies. I'm not familiar with three of these corporations, but Google, of course, I'm familiar with. Google is apparently still paying into the Clinton Foundation, which is kind of interesting. Are they doing that just out of charity? Are they doing it because they think they can still get something from the Clintons, still have something that can help Google? Cities, counties, foundations, and other nonprofits also donate to the foundation, and some contributed in 2017. 501c3 nonprofit. The Clinton Foundation submits financial information to the Internal Revenue Service once per year, and information on both 2016 and 2017 is not yet publicly available. But International Business Times contacted nearly 50 major corporations that had previously donated to the foundation, asking if they made a new contribution after the 2016 presidential election. 30 of those 50 corporations, did not respond or declined to comment on the question. Of the 18 that did, all said that they had not made new donations. The hedge fund manager and self-described Wall Street whistleblower Charles Ortel alleges that the Clinton Foundation purposely hid payments attached to the now infamous Russia Uranium One deal. To stress the gravity of the Clinton Foundation's Russian Uranium One scandal, Ortel told Infowars.com that he believes the Clinton Foundation financial reports are criminally fraudulent. Now, this is one man's opinion. I'm not going to say that they definitely were. I would certainly be inclined to agree with him, but you know, we have to watch and see what. But I would like to see a real investigation. All right, I don't want this decided by. I'd like to see an investigation. Was this fraud? Was this treason? What was it? What happened here? This guy Ortel, he says, take the 2009 results completed in 2010. It says focus on the column CHI, which is the Clinton Health Access Initiative. And if you look at it, it shows that contributions of $15.5 million of the combined total and $159 million in grants of the total were going to the Clinton Foundation, the Clinton Health Access Initiative in any case. Clearly, CHI existed during 2009 as a material portion of the Clinton Foundation. Charles Ortel wonders who contributed $159.7 million to the Clinton Health Access Initiative in 2009. And, you know, it's a good question. Apparently, if we can, if the numbers are accurate in this article, Clinton's picked up $160 million, roughly, from some unknown contributor to their health access initiative. And I'd like to know whose health was really being supported here. $159 million? That's a lot. You know, that's a significant contribution for what is a private or institutional contributor. That's a lot. I mean, How much money do people give to the Red Cross? How many charities can you point to where anybody's given them $159 million? Clinton's got it, at least for a while. They did in 2009. And you have to wonder, what did they get it for? Do you have an answer for that, Melody? Do you know what they got it for?
Well, probably favors from the past.
I think photographs. I'd perhaps. Be willing to pay $159 million
for that little autograph. Blue. Maybe for that little blue dress.
Uh-huh. Well, that's Bill's. That was Bill's, but I don't think that was. This was basic. This was about Hillary, mainly. Bill was
yes,
the
but
bag
it still is related. To, it's still related to the Clinton. It's still related to the Clinton Foundation. Mm-hmm. So, which is both of them. So, my understanding of that is anyway.
Gang. We could call it the foundation, or we could call it the Clinton gang. All right, now
but,
I probably don't want to say gang necessarily. The foundation sounds so much more honest and ethical. But what is the difference between a foundation?
But I agree with. I agree with you. I think there needs to be, because there's so many questions, you can hear both sides of the story. Both sides can sound fairly credible. Supposedly, this story, to as far as the uranium one scandal, supposedly that was debunked. Well, you know what? Do an investigation and show us the facts.
Yep.
You know, let's see the truth. Mm-hmm. Who's telling the truth? Who's lying? And it's money laundering, as far as I'm concerned. And last time I knew, that
I don't even know that it's just money laundering. I think if they're handing over 20% of America's access to uranium, I don't know, is that treason? I mean, we can sit back and say, okay, this is just a business deal, maybe.
But there were nine government. But there were.
Did somebody take a bribe?
I agree.
Did somebody take a bribe? Because if there is, there's criminal or political intent to do harm to others.
And if it includes the nine government agencies that supposedly approved the deal, you know, then they need to be investigated.
Yeah, I know. How much money did they get?
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the other points. The Clintons were not the only ones to approve this deal. Apparently, there were nine other people or entities that had to approve, and that means there were nine more bribes, or at least it raises that possibility. I'm not saying that's true, but it raises that possibility. How many people took bribes on this deal? How many people are fabulously wealthy? Have they got enough money? Your retirement is set. How'd you get it? Well, I work for the government, and I took a bribe.
So if this story was truly debunked, then show us the facts.
Yeah, exactly.
Show us the connected dots. So, because there's certainly enough questions that need to be answered.
Why do they have to show us? Why do they have to connect the dots and show us what really happened? And the answer is because we don't trust them, and we have reason not to trust them. We know that they have fixed, manipulated, lied, prevaricated. They have betrayed our trust repeatedly, and that's all. Take our word for it. That's all cool. You don't need to look into this any deeper. Yeah, we do. And people in government need to understand this is not unreasonable on the part of the American people. There have been too many betrayals of trust by the political system. They betray our trust. Okay, now if you're telling us the truth, you need to show us the whole truth. You need to show us the whole truth in part to regain some semblance of trust. And when you say, oh, we don't have to show that, we're not going to be transparent about that, we're not going to investigate that, that's a waste of time, waste of money. Going and engage in a war in Syria for 13 years, that's not a waste of time, that's not a waste of money. But investigating to see if someone took a bribe to commit a very questionable act in this country, that's a waste of time. Bunk. You know, people in positions of power are supposed to defend this country against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I want to see if there's a domestic enemy involved in this story, and if there is, show us, and then let's prosecute. So, what else, Melody? Did you find...
Well, yes, I did. This was out last night, Chuck Todd, on MSNBC and MTP Daily. There was a representative, Jackie Speier, Democrat, California. She said yesterday that the House has paid out $15 million in harassment settlements over more than a decade, though a spokesman later clarified that the figure does not only account for sexual harassment claims. A spokesperson for Speer later clarified the Office of Compliance applied to all types of complaints handled by the office in the fiscal period. These include not just complaints relating to sexual harassment, but also to complaints regarding racial and religious discrimination, as well as discrimination against people with disabilities, according to the spokesperson. My question is, why can't they pay their own darn fees and fines that they get levied because they've have bad behavior? Why does the taxpayer, because we're probably also not including out of that $15 million the attorney fees and everything that the taxpayers have paid for these guys, if they can't behave themselves, act properly, why does the taxpayer, I don't care if it's $1 million, I don't care if it's $15 million, there shouldn't be $1 that goes to any of these people to pay off someone because of various situations.
And that's what this was. These were settlement payments. They looked, if you just shut up and go away, we'll give you some money. This is not the result of going to court and getting a judgment. This is the result of threatening to sue, and somebody comes up from government and says, why don't we write you a nice little check here, and you just go away. All right? These are out-of-court settlements, and they were probably never expected to see the light of day in terms of attracting any publicity, and yet they have. And not a big deal, $15 million, but it is an idea that is offensive.
It is.
If the Congress as an institution or members of the Congress are responsible, let them pay the settlement. Right?
They're all millionaires.
This business will make the taxpayer. Don't we pay for enough stuff in this country without paying for what may be criminal acts, certainly some sort of civil offenses committed by people in positions of power? We shouldn't have to pay that. You're going to buy them off? You're going to bribe the plaintiff to drop the case? Okay, the money should come out of the pocket of whoever's been accused, not out of the pocket of the American people.
And you know what is the most disgusting thing that came from this article? And Paul Ryan, he's announced yesterday afternoon that he's going to require all House members and staff to undergo anti-harassment training. Well, isn't that special?
Yeah, no.
Paid for by the taxpayer. Yeah. I mean, my God, these
what are... What does that even tell you? What does that tell you?
Oh, my God.
It tells you they are guilty of harassment. I mean, there's no point to me hiring... If I've got 50 people working for me, there is no point for me training them how to deal with space aliens unless we have some evidence they've actually had some encounters, close encounters of the third kind. It's evidence. They are harassing. We've got to teach them to stop this in order to stop these payments and stop these complaints. And at the same time, it'll also be evidence. It'll be used by people who want to file the complaints and say, okay, how do we do it? They'll read the report. They'll read the report, study the course they're giving them on harassment, and it'll teach people how to sue.
Oh, it's just...
The whole thing is just nuts. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom, lamenting the fate of this nation and some of the stupidity that seems to take place and be rampant in our political system, in the Congress, in the Senate, in the White House. I mean, it's like, I don't know, it's like Bugsy Siegel got elected and his boys got elected to run the country. You know, there's an element here of gangsterism where people think we can beat the rap. The Teflon Don. All right, what was his name coming out of New York City? I can't think of it right now. But he was another one. He got away with a bunch of stuff until finally he didn't. And then he spent the rest of his life in the slammer until he died of, I don't know, cancer or something. Got him while he was in prison.
Is it Bonelli? No, Bono? Bono?
No. That was Cher's. That was Cher's husband.
Not him.
Mm-hmm. Well, not him. Not a different one. Okay. Yeah, I remember Teflon Don. I just don't remember his name. That's all. But the point is, increasingly, what we see in Washington really does look like a criminal enterprise. There's a point in time we're going to find that some of these congressmen have been going out and approaching small stores in Washington and tell them they'll protect, make sure the windows don't get broke if they kick in payment every month.
John Gotti.
I'm John Gotti. I knew it was a G.
John Gotti.
Yeah. So, any case, it's offensive. It is shameless. I mean, Hillary Clinton is a crook. Everything you see indicates the woman is a crook. Everything, if you bother to look at it, there's good evidence, good reason to believe her husband is a crook. Anybody going to do anything about it? It's not news. This has been going on for, who knows, 10, 20 years. It's been apparent to people. It's certainly in people in Congress, people who ought to be able to know, be able to spot a crime when they see one, know a crook when they see one.
And you know what, Al?
Done, it just wink and we let it go, which means what? It means the rest of the people in Congress are either cowards or they're in it themselves up to their ears. And they don't want to rock the boat.
And if people don't want to believe that, you know, the Clintons are responsible of everything that has been said that they have done, just one thing, that's enough. And that's what it's like anymore.
No, I know.
It's like, no, you don't, you know, forget if you're guilty on 100% of them all. It's just one.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's wrong.
And no one's enforcing
the law
in relationship to that one. And somebody should be. The people in positions of power should be held to the... If we're going to give mercy and give a wrist slap to anybody, it should be the poor, the unfortunate, the people who don't even know how to read. All right? It's, well, all right, we're going to give you a break. We're not going to sentence you for 20 years. We're going to sentence you for 2. All right? If you want to do that, that's fine. But what about people who not only they can read, they can write, they make the law. They don't just read it. They can make the law. Should they be exempt from obeying the law? And the answer is, from the government's perspective, yeah, buddy. Can't hold the government responsible for obeying the law. They don't want any part of it. And they should be the ones that are held most rigorously to obeying the law. And they are probably... The one class of people, other than the super rich, who are able to evade the law with impunity, at least up until now. We may be seeing a change. It may be that we're going to see a change, and if we do, well, hooray. I'm glad to see it. Yeah. I mean, you know, what do they call it when the courts, they are intentionally rough on defendants that are committed, that are accused and convicted of a crime, and it's intended to impress other would-be criminals. Better not do it, because if you got caught, you're going to pay a big penalty. Why don't we have that same thing for the wealthy people in the Congress? Why are they exempt? I mean, let's hold them. I'm not saying get tougher on them than we do on the great unwashed, but let's get at least, they made the laws, we're going to get this tough on the great unwashed. Fine. We should be that tough on the Congress also. We're not. It's got to change. And I don't doubt that circumstances, even the Trump election, evidence of a growing populist sentiment in this country. I would speculate that sentiment is exactly what we're kind of talking about right now. People are fed up. Want somebody not just to make laws, but to obey the laws. How about that? And part of the reason people supported Trump is we thought, well, maybe he'll obey the laws. We know the Congress isn't going to. We can bet the Senate won't. Federal courts won't. All right? Not when push comes to shove or there's a dollar to be made. We are being betrayed. How about electing some people that are interested in representing the American middle class rather than either the poor on welfare and the rich on subsidies? Yeah. Populism. Let's do the right thing for people who actually work for a living. I know it's a crazy idea, Melody, but I'm telling you, I think it's an idea whose time has come. Oh, and maybe it will keep on coming until we get some sort of house cleaning.
Well, report, this is out of the Mirror. Alaska is urged to prepare for North Korea nuclear attack as residents told to have emergency stash of food and water. Alaska is urging preparedness in case of a North Korea nuclear attack amid fears that a warhead could reach residents in 20 minutes. The country will not attempt evacuation if North Korea fires a nuclear missile. Emergency planners have warned. Jeremy Zydek from the state's disaster planning team urged locals to shelter in place should an attack happen. He urged families to have the usual emergency stash of food and water, flashlights, and radios. And while he insisted that Alaska was unlikely target for the nuclear strike, Mr. Zydek admitted that the state's defensive facilities could be picked for the attack because you have Alaska's home to Fort Greely. And that's where the U.S. has interceptor rockets that are designed to destroy incoming intercontinental ballistic missiles. So they have the missile defense system there, so perhaps they could be a target, I suspect. So, and I do believe there was a secretive rocket, missile, whatever, that launched, was it yesterday or today? And a government missile that was launched. There's been speculation.
One of ours.
Satellite speculating that it might have something to do with, security, tracking system, or whatever. I don't know if it's, so who knows? And I did see that this morning they did approve $800 billion to go to the Defense Department. So. Department of Defense. So, who knows? And what was included in there? And I guess Mr. Trump does have to, with this budget, he does have to have plans for North Korea. So, included in there. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Does it mean anything?
It just means something. But what is it?
Yeah.
It's not
we
as
won't
if
know
it's necessarily be shared with us.
But these are just things that are floating in the background that, with all the news of Roy Moore and everything else has just kind of been pushed into the back burner. And but again, I think these are North Korea is still a big issue.
And I understand because in part because Kim can't shut his mouth and Trump can't back down. So we either park aircraft carriers around the Korean Peninsula for the next 4 years or 8 years or whatever, or we have to do something. Or Kim has to just say, okay, I was just kidding. I don't actually have any nuclear weapons, and certainly we would never use them on the beloved United States. You know, I mean, somebody's got to back down here. This is a game of chicken.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine. It's hard to imagine. I won't say it's impossible, but it's hard to imagine that Trump will back down. He's going to try to negotiate this. I don't doubt he's going to try to negotiate this and resolve it without violence. I suppose he's going to try to do that. I doubt if Kim will allow that to happen. He's not going to make a peaceful resolution to this, at least doesn't look like it up until now. So we're going to have a conflict. When? Don't know. How serious? Don't know. But we're going to have a conflict. And so,
well, the stock market was down mainly today in reference to the tax reform. You had your first, although this came out after the markets were closed, but it looks like there might be issues with this tax reform that the Senate put out. And you have Senator Ron Johnson, he's a Republican out of Wisconsin, said he opposes the Senate Republican tax package, saying it unfairly benefits corporations more than other types of businesses. If they can pass it without me, let them. And he says, I'm not going to vote for this tax package. So he is the first one to put it on record that he isn't going to vote for this tax package as it stands. You also have some other Senate Republicans that expressed, of course, Jeff Flake, that's no surprise. Susan Collins, that's no surprise. You know, they're concerned about part of the mandate of the Affordable Care Act as part of the tax overall. So, but he did say that, you know, he would look at it if they came in and changed it around. And he hoped that they would address the disparity so that he could support the final version of the tax bill. So
he's fishing for a bribe?
He's fishing for something.
Saying, I'm to vote against it. I could change my mind. If you've got any of you got any tens of millions or whatever, we kind of move it. I could change my mind, but you know,
well,
right
he
now,
is from Wisconsin. That's Paul Ryan's state. So is it a coincidence? But yeah. Don't know. But you know, interesting. And he's from the same great state of Wisconsin as Paul Ryan. So you're right. He's probably there. Oh, I'm holding out. What do you got for me?
All right.
Let's have a couple of those midnight meetings.
Maybe not even something for me. What do you got for Wisconsin? What do you got for the people of Wisconsin?
Well, they did
get
that.
I can brag. Thanks to me, you've got a new bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we finish, and now that we've got the bridge built, we're going to build the river that goes underneath it.
Yep. So anyway.
Got an article here from the Daily Beast, and the headline is, Senators Stunned to Discover We Have 1,000 Troops in Niger. The recent deaths of four U.S. Special Operations Forces troops in Niger has opened eyes to that mission. It's also raised a question of how can our presence there be justified by a law passed in 2001. All right? And the problem, there's two senators who they were on the news this weekend. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, told host Chuck Todd on Meet the Press he didn't know until recently that 1,000 U.S. troops were stationed in Niger. Now, he's one of the chamber's most hawkish members. He's a warmonger. I didn't know. Gee, how was I supposed to know we had troops in Niger? Graham is he's one of the Senate Armed Committees, Armed Services Committee. There is a bill called the Authorization of Use of Military Force that goes back to around 2001, and they said now, see, this one exempts Congress. This bill statute exempted Congress from its constitutional duty to declare war, and it essentially said the military can go fight wherever they want. And if Congress doesn't like it, they can defund the military's attempt to engage in war. But it's up to the military to decide where we're going to fight and who we're going to invade and whatever. And then the Congress, they can step in if they don't like it and defund it. But the point is, Congress doesn't have to take responsibility for going to war or for not going to war. It's politically unpopular. And so they're going to duck that political consequence, that political liability, by saying, you guys in the Laramie, just go ahead, play nice, you know, you go ahead and invade whoever you want, and if we don't like it, we'll act on it. But we're not going to stop you. And we are left to wonder, how many wars have we had in the last 16 years since this authorization of use of military force? How many wars have we had? How many people, how many Americans have died? How much money have we spent? How much debt have we gone into while Congress ducked political liability for deciding where and when we should engage in war? We can wonder how many wars we would have had in the last 16 years if Congress had been required to vote. Okay, we're going to war against Syria. Oh, no, we're going to war against Afghanistan. No, we're going to war against Iraq. Does Congress declare an act of war, or do we just let the administration say, let's bomb these people? Let's, you know. It is more evidence of people in Washington, D.C. who are self-serving. They're not obeying the Constitution. So we'll pass a law, we'll pass a statute that says we don't have to obey the Constitution. We don't have to declare war. You can't pass a statute. You want to amend the Constitution? It requires a vote by the people of the United States of America. They are defying the Constitution. They are refusing to obey the law because it might be politically risky, and therefore they surrendered it. They surrendered control of our wars to the military, and now we've been caught and said, oh my gosh, we've got 1,000 people in Niger. How did that happen? Well, we're going to have an interesting debate on this. We're going to have an interesting conflict, and it'll be coming up over the course of the next weeks, months, whatever. We'll see what happens, but it's about Congress didn't obey the law. Right, the Constitution. They should have. They didn't. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night. I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all.